Hey, Steve Pratt, I have to say, I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. You're the co-founder of Pacific Content, and that company is one that I feel is like really emblematic of everything that I try to do or want to do is creating content that helps brands drive revenue. But you do it mainly focused with audio, which of course is my other love. So happy to see you.
Happy to see you too. Very excited to have a chat.
Thanks
for having me.
Be prepared. I'm going to be picking your brain.
Happy to crack open my skull and give you whatever you'd like. There you go.
Thank you. I've never had such a generous offer from a guest. Thank you. All right. I want to start with name dropping. Okay. So Pacific Content, what kind of companies are you supporting these days? Can you dish?
We're really proud of the companies we work with. I have to say it's very un-Canadian of me. anybody listening, you'll hear my hoser accent. I'm just going to tell you I'm full Canadian. It's a bit shocking for us still to think of some of the companies that we work with. So yeah, we work with Ford Motor Company, yep. Morgan Stanley, Charles Schwab, Dell Technologies, Atlassian, Rocket Mortgage. I'm forgetting some amazing ones. We have the best group of clients. They're all just really fabulously brave brand storytellers and marketers, and it's a really deep collaboration with all of them, and we're having a ton of fun.
It's awesome. And a lot of them, you would be surprised, listeners, to realize that some of the podcasts that you listen to are actually branded podcasts. And we're going to get into that and discuss exactly what a branded podcast is and how content can just be good content. So this is Insider Interviews, where you get the insider scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising from some of the brightest and kindest minds out there. In this episode, you're going to hear from Steve Pratt, as we've explained, and he is the VP and co-founder of Pacific Content, which, as I also mentioned, is a company I've long admired for quality creations of original podcasts for brands. Steve actually has been podcasting since, I don't know, before the dawn of time, actually. You know, he's not that old, but maybe since around 2005. And I'm going to ask him about his history and what it's like to be up there in Canada, which he explained. So, Steve, welcome. Thanks again for being here.
No, it's a treat. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So I got to know Pacific Content because I am a fan of a podcast called Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Want to explain what that one is? Speaking of dropping names.
it's an amazing show we do with Dell Technologies that's hosted by Walter Isaacson. I'm sure everybody knows Walter, but if you don't, he's the guy who wrote the Steve Jobs biography and has written biographies of everybody from Da Vinci to Benjamin Franklin to Einstein. He's a legend. We've been doing the show for a long time. Dell came to us when they merged with EMC and kind of had seven companies turn into one company called Dell Technologies. And there was a big brand refresh because people didn't know what Dell Technologies meant as a brand new merged company. And the goal was to let everybody know that this combined group of companies and services stood for helping companies get through digital transformation and figure out how to avoid being disrupted and to continue to learn the lessons of how to innovate and be successful in a digital era. And so we got together with their team and put together this podcast, Trailblazers with Walter Isaacson. And every episode takes you through the history of a particular industry and how it's been disrupted and told from the people who are actually in there. And I think a lot of the research that we got was that the people in the decision-making process in the C-suite at big companies didn't want listicles and tips. They wanted to hear the stories from other people who'd been in their shoes and knew what it was like. And so this series kind of takes you inside the brains and the minds of the people who were there when they were faced with these big forks in the road. What do we do with our company or our industry and to see how it all played out. So it's a bit like a master class, like an MBA in disruption and innovation. It's a really fun show.
So let's talk about how that is helpful to Dell? Because to me, I just thought it was fascinating content. Let's use that as the example of what good branded content is and what that means. How do you define it?
I think it's honestly, it's different for every client we work with. Everybody shows up with a business problem they're looking to solve. And our job is to help figure out how to use creativity and audio to solve that and move the needle. And it's a really interesting balance because on one side, you've got the business problem you're trying to solve with our clients, but part of the solution is always baked into what is the best thing for listeners and what are people going to voluntarily listen to. And then it's got to be so good that they're going to opt in and say, I'd actually like to listen to this on an ongoing basis and spend a half hour of my time over and over and over again. So it's this, you know, there's a strategy part of figuring out the Venn diagram overlap between the business goal and what people are going to love listening to.
Yeah.
In the case of Dell, it was a top of funnel brand exercise around dissociating the brand with this new idea of digital transformation. And podcasts have been amazingly effective over and over and over doing this. We've been doing this for about 8 years. But if you listen to Trailblazers, it's never talked about, like there's no Dell products and services in the podcast. They're a really brave, forward-thinking marketing team. They know that if we're telling amazing stories about disruption and innovation over and over and over again, and that that's the focus of the series and that's why people are tuning into it, they know that people know that Dell's the company making that podcast. And we kind of, in the packaging of the podcast, it's almost like Game of Thrones comes from HBO. We know that Curb Your Enthusiasm, it comes from HBO. Everybody who listens to Trailblazers knows that it comes from Dell Technologies and that they stand for the subject matter of the show, which is fabulous tales of innovation and transformation. So
interesting.
Yeah. I think over time, the more episodes that people listen to, the stronger the connection is with those ideas. And it demonstrates their expertise in a way that is really authentic, that they care about it and they're putting it out there and sharing the smartest information that's out there around these topics.
So I'm going to take a little sidebar and apologize for the background noise. I live in New York City and there must be something going on because there's helicopters in the background. But when the bigger professionals like Pacific Content produce a show, they're in like pristine studios. So you're with me in my living room, which is part of the beauty of, you know, authenticity. So thanks for your patience. I hope you can't hear it too much.
You know what? I can't hear it. And really? I should say, okay, it's also fascinating to me. Like you bring up such an interesting point. Podcasts have been such a success story of like a very, and I feel weird saying this. I'm going to acknowledge that, but like during COVID, yeah. Because you can do stuff at really high quality remotely very well. Like the fact that we're doing this, I'm in Vancouver, you're in Manhattan. It's going to sound great for everybody listening. We both got mics. It's not crazy fancy studios, but the technology for podcasting has enabled a lot of people to move from things like video or live events that were really hard.
Yes.
That depended on a lot of people being in the same room together. So there's been a huge growth in podcasts,
right,
because of the ability to keep going and make
right
high quality and stuff.
There's a few things I want to say about that. The first is that the value of authenticity and connection and feeling like you're just having a conversation, which you and I are. I don't know that maybe we've met in person once before at back in the day when we were IRL. But episode 40 was with the CMO of Cadillac, Melissa Grady, and midway through, her dog jumped up and started barking, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And I asked her to do a screen grab with me with the dog's tongue out, and we're laughing and everything. You know, that's how I got to know Melissa, was virtually thanks to her dog. So thanks to helicopters, here we are. Anyway, back to how do you make good content and through connections and relationships. I want to talk about something really, really cool that you said to our friend, James Cridland, I believe you were on his show last year. And you said, I'm going to read this. You've described Pacific Content, your business, as helping brands become media companies by creating marketing content. I love that. I want to dive into that because brands really are becoming media companies. And we're not just talking about, you know, what Target or Walmart are doing with building out media, but how do you help them become media companies?
I'm thankfully obsessed with this. almost everybody on our team used to work in the media. And I think that we've got a particular set of skills in terms of being able to build audiences and develop shows and tell stories that are really, really compelling. And I think where we're seeing the big opportunity for a lot of brands is that as the listeners or audiences are getting more empowered to be able to skip things that they don't want, and they're being much choosier with what they do put their time and attention towards, it's putting a bigger ask on marketing to be effective. To be able to get people's time, you actually have to earn it. You can't force an interruption as much as you used to, and you can't buy your way into it at the same level that you used to. So, you know, our approach to coming into this is that the smartest marketers are going to be the ones who really think not about themselves and not think about talking exclusively about their own products and services, but about the ones who think about, like, how can we give a gift, or how can we create a significant amount of value for the people that we want to have relationships with? And that's where you make a show. You make a show that is designed for something that only we, like only our brand, can make, but we are going to create a gift that is of significant value to the audience. It has to be, because they're the ones who have to choose to listen to it or consume it. So In some ways, thinking about the audience first and creating things that people love instead of creating interruptions that people don't want. When I put it that bluntly, it's kind of like, oh yeah, of course we should be making things that make people like us, or where they're grateful for the things that we put out into their lives. And I think that that's where a brand as a media company, that concept makes a ton of sense from a brand level marketing perspective.
So that sort of answers the question of why should they make a podcast? But I think there's more to that answer. So one is, I guess, being present and offering content that ingratiates them with a listener. What are the other reasons why a brand would want to make a branded podcast?
Well, there's a few things. I think, you know, podcasting in particular is a really powerful medium. And if it has some really unique strengths compared to other platforms or media formats. One of the biggest ones is the amount of time that you get in a podcast, and engagement for a brand is gold. If you do a great podcast, we can get people on a regular basis with completion rates of 85, 95% of the way through a 30-minute episode. And if you're making a season of shows, to be able to get people six times with an average engagement of 25 minutes with you, I don't know where you can get that kind of time in any other platform. And I think, you know, if you want to talk about the things that you stand for, or you want to explore telling stories with your values, or if you want to help your audience understand complex topics as a gift to them, it's hard to do that on Twitter. It's hard to do that on TikTok. It's hard to do that on Instagram, because they're very short attention span media, and they're really good at some things. But if we're actually putting some meat on the bone, podcasting is a phenomenal medium to be able to really dig into some powerful storytelling and also explain some very complicated ideas, or, you know, let people have some real time and engagement to know who you are as a company and what you stand for.
I don't want to be embarrassed, because I do listen to branded podcasts. You do another one about the Bronco, which is great. And I actually cited that, played a clip from it in my presentation of Podcast Movement about, you know, making good content. But thank you. It's great listening. And it reminds me, there was a shampoo commercial for Pantene back in the 80s, and the model would say, "Don't hate me because I'm beautiful." And
I remember that.
Yeah. I kind of want to change the words to be, "Don't hate me because they're branded podcasts. They're still beautiful."
It's kind of funny, you know, when we first started doing this. So we are very early in doing branded podcasts. And I think our first one launched in the spring of 2015 with Slack.
Wow.
And when we first had the idea to do this, of kind of helping brands become media companies in audio, like above the fold on our website, it just had this thing that just said, "We make branded podcasts." And I think we kind of helped popularize the term branded podcasts.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, we actually kind of reversed course and changed the language And part of it was like, there, I think there are just connotations that audiences have around branded content that it's tricking people somehow, or that, right. You know, it's always going to end in a product mention or a service plug or a promo code or something like that.
Right.
And that's not what we were trying to do. And I think even for clients coming in, we didn't want to set that expectation that that's what we were offering was a thinly veiled infomercial. And so we changed our language to original podcasts with brands. It was a very deliberate choice of language that you're making a real show. You're not making the thinly veiled infomercial, and it's a collaborative project. We're not doing it for you. We're doing it with you, and we're going to make real shows, and they are going to be things that people listen all the way through. And then they're like, I'm really pleasantly surprised that this is a fabulous show. I'm going to keep listening and I'm going to tell other people about it. And, you know, we've kind of used this term, and we probably overuse it, but I love it so much, called creative bravery. And we talk about it every single time with a new client in the kind of qualifying phases, and then in the strategy phases and the program development. How creatively brave are you willing to be as a brand in making a real show? And if you didn't work here, would you still listen to this show?
Yeah.
Is it so good that if you didn't work here and or you weren't a customer, you would tell other people about it if you were interested in this subject matter? That's the bar.
Right.
And then you can kind of start sliding down as soon as it's like, well, we'd like all of our employees to be the hosts and be the subject matter experts for everything. And now we'd like to talk about our products and services and how they've helped everything solve problems, like where the products and services are the heroes. You kind of slide down that piece.
Correct.
It's like the every VP time marketing. Somebody comes in and hears that sort of a thing, you might have them once and they'll never come back. So it's
right.
You kind of have to have the high bar from day one.
Yeah. Or say to yourself, the VP of marketing or Walter Isaacson, the VP of marketing. Yeah.
Well, it's, you kind of get to design as a listener too. Like, who would be the person you'd want to hear stories about disruption and innovation from? There's very few people on earth better than Walter Isaacson for it. And he's amazing. Like, and he's, you know, he's part of the reason why the show is really successful. And every guest right. that we have on the show and every story that we tell is bringing their own expertise and storytelling to it. And that is all a very nice halo effect that Dell is the one bringing that to you. If every story was about how smart Dell was, I don't think anybody would listen to it. Even though they are very smart people and wonderful to work with, but I don't think it would have the same level of success that Trailblazers does.
Yes. And you can hear my interview with Rachel Hanke, the director of global marketing, in an early episode of Insider Interviews. I'll just say that.
She's great. She's awesome.
She is great. I also wanted to ask you about the difference between creating a branded podcast. When do you advise a brand to, even at the loss of perhaps a piece of business for Pacific Content, but how do you determine when a brand should just place advertising in another podcast versus go full on and make their own content?
That's a great question. And it's actually a really, really important part of our business. It's helping people to decide sometimes not to make a podcast at all. And there's a number of factors. So number one is, are you going to make a great show? Are you going to make a show that is worthy of people's time and attention? And do you have the resources to do that? Do you have the team behind you to help support that? Do you have a budget to be able to make a show that's differentiated in your market? And are you willing to put the listener as a big part of the strategy? And if not, there's one reason why we might say we're probably not a great fit and you might want to consider a different strategy for audio.
Yeah.
The other big one, honestly, and we learned this one fairly early on in Pacific Content, is, are you committed to marketing your show? And do you have resources to market your show effectively? Uh-huh. Like when we put out Slack's podcast, it did really, really well. It was quirky and it was novel and it got a lot of press, and Slack marketed it very well. It did very, very well. And then we made a couple of other shows that were really good shows and did not have the same level of consumption. And a big part of it was because the marketing was not there, that the brands had not marketed them as effectively. And so we've developed a very robust and deep nerdy expertise in audience development for podcasts with brands. And you know, in some ways, brands have a really unfair advantage compared to almost everybody else in podcasting. Like a lot of other digital media, everybody starts from zero.
Yeah.
And the channels, like the owned channels and the internal communication channels and the paid budgets that brands have, anybody in podcasting would love to have those channels. And part of being a media company is marketing a show and letting people know that a show is coming, building excitement about it, being able to promote episode by episode, the thing that you're going to get excited about, mm-hmm. Helping marketing departments learn how to market a show instead of a product or service is a big part of what we do as well. And then to be able to measure that marketing effectiveness that is driving to actual listening of the show is a huge part of the business. And if somebody says we're not going to market the show, and if we build it, they will come mentality, mm-hmm. we would say you probably shouldn't do it because no one's going to come. If you have a creatively brave show and you tell all the right people about it, you're going to be one of the happiest people on the planet marketing wise.
Yeah.
If the bravery is low or the commitment is low, you're not going to have a great experience. And I think all of us in the podcasting industry have a responsibility as a new medium to be able to have an amazing experience for the companies that we work with coming into the space to try and deliver the success that they can't get in other places. And so, to your point, sometimes the best thing for the industry is to do the right thing for the client as well and say, this may not be the right thing.
What do you tell them about how they should measure success? What are the ways that this shows up in typical or non-traditional measurement tactics? How do they know that, assuming they do the marketing, that there's something to look at, some kind of apples to apples?
Yeah, so everybody's a little bit different. I should say that because it depends on what the business reason that they're coming in to make a podcast is. You know, every client might have different KPIs, but some of the big ones obviously are the number of downloads of the show. A big one is completion rates, like the engagement factor and how much time people are spending with the show. A lot of it is that audience development is actually measuring how the marketing is performing and delivering results to the podcast. You know, there's amazing tools like, you know, Chartable is a fabulous company that helps measure attribution from one place to another in podcasting. So we might help a client put Chartable on every link that they share about the show with a different tag on it. So you can see how LinkedIn or Twitter performs compared to an email newsletter, compares to an in-app placement or a front page of a website banner, and to see what conversion rates those get and which ones turn into listeners. We might help them do a paid media buy of buying ads on other podcasts that are exactly the right type of match for subject matter and audience, and get a custom host read ad on a third-party podcast that also has a Chartable link in it, where we can see this many people listened to the third-party podcast and went and downloaded our client show as a result of it. Uh-huh. That's almost like you get a real-time dashboard of here's how our marketing is performing, and we can be agile with that and adjust course over the course of a season or season to season to kind of just keep optimizing the marketing. And I think a lot of brands and agencies aren't aware that level of measurement is possible in podcasting, and it's getting better and better all the time.
I love those specific suggestions and tools that they can use. You know, I mentioned earlier the continuum, and I frequently mention that in my podcasts because it's a publication about the intersection of brand and demand. And I'll be talking to Veritone as well, which supports programmatic and ad insertion and ad tech and things like that. And so that's why I also wanted to talk to you, because it seems like you're very complementary that way between brand or awareness marketing, which is your strong suit, and performance or demand marketing. And yet you found ways to sort of combine the two, I guess, with your recommendations. Is that right?
Yeah. And I will say, you know, just going back to your earlier question around where you'll have conversations with a brand that making a podcast is not the right thing. One of the other pieces is if somebody comes and says, like, we need ROI in the next quarter. Like, I need to see a bump in sales or revenue or I want to grow the pipeline in the next quarter. That's probably where we would go and talk to somebody like Veritone and say, like, hey, you should go do a podcast ad campaign and pick exactly the right shows and do a fabulous job. That's on the performance marketing side. Podcast has a ton of great people and a ton of great companies and technologies to do that. A branded podcast is more around changing people's relationships with the brand and what you stand for. And again, that's kind of, I think, why we qualify what's the problem that the brand is coming into podcasting for, and make sure that we give them a fabulous experience, whether it's with Pacific Content or Veritone or anybody else in the market, to kind of solve the right problem with the right tool.
Well said. Now, here's another hybrid question for you. Assuming that something does, you know, really well, like a Trailblazers, like a Choiceology, and I'll even give props to Trader Joe's podcast. Is there an opportunity to also make a different kind of revenue off of it? Do any branded podcasts ever insert ads?
It's interesting. We've had conversations about it, and I neglected to mention earlier when you were asking about measurement, brand lift studies are a really big part of what we do as well. Mm-hmm. We have a third party, Signal Hill Insights, which is an amazing partner, and they've developed just an amazing system for doing brand lift studies with branded podcasts. And so the one thing is if you're making a branded podcast, that we strive to have a really light brand touch. And usually that's the same way that a media company would do it. Like, I'll just keep using HBO, but you know, you have that screen of hash and static with the HBO thing off the top of every show. Most of our shows have a couple lines in a half hour that acknowledge that the brand is making the podcast and that they're, you know, the media company making this show. So it might be, you know, this is Trailblazers, an original podcast from Dell Technologies, somewhere in the first 5 minutes of the show and then closer to the end of the show. If you put ads in the show, it creates brand confusion. And I think the reason that people are making this show is not for revenue. It's for the brand association, and it's for communicating what the company stands for. So introducing any confusion into that, the brand lift studies are the things that have kind of proven that to us.
So do you have to disclose in a branded podcast, you know, like along the FCC advertorial kind of rules, that this has been a paid for type of product?
We never hide any of it. Like, there's like, it's in all the metadata, like they're the publisher. So it's the same way you'll see if you go in any podcast app, it's Trailblazers with Walter Isaacson and Dell Technologies is right there on every piece of, like, we're really proud of it. And nobody's trying to trick anybody. Nobody's trying to do anything. It's very, very upfront, but it is the idea that they're the publisher and the company behind it. As I said, you know, it's the light brand touch and the focus on creating value for the listener.
Right.
There is no aha at the end of the episode. The aha is this was a fabulous show, and I'm really grateful that this company made it for us.
And that alignment, like, and that relationship.
I see why you've been doing all this to lead me down your sales funnel and give me a code at the end or whatever. So yeah, we don't do that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I want to use the last few minutes that we have here to talk about the forthcoming year. You guys are kind of famous for your predictions. You curate a lot of sources, and you've been in this, as you said, a long time, since I think 2005. And I know that you and I were talking offline about back in the day, CBC Radio. And yeah, major props to you for your forward thinkingness about the industry. As such, you can check out the Pacific Content blog, and at the year end, you often do these predictions. So I listened to that episode with James Cridland at the end of last year, going into 2021. This episode will publish towards the end of 2021. So how'd you do? I'll tell you the four things by way of reminder that you guys talked about.
So you have to tell me what I said.
What, you don't remember a year ago? Okay. You talked about consolidation, and part of the rationale being companies wanting all, you know, like ad tech and podcast tech under one roof. And you asked if by then it was conjecture. Would Amazon acquire Wondery? Well, we all know the answer to that.
They did.
And you thought it would be big.
Everybody's building the full stack. Yeah.
Is there anything left? That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll start with that one. How do you think they did? You predicted that they would be a major player and that maybe Amazon would use Wondery IP to shift on to Amazon Prime and other content. What are your thoughts about that so far?
I think that is all in progress. Amazon also bought Art19 as a hosting platform with, you know, ad technologies. I think it came out that they're building a live audio app as well, is kind of their take on the Clubhouse Twitter Spaces type right. space. So I can't remember who it was, but somebody fairly senior at Amazon was saying, like, there is a big market for advertising revenue and audio, and they're going to be in it. So I think we've seen continued growth of Spotify as a home for audio, period, the mix of music and podcasting. They've had significant gains and continue to sign exclusives and buy more companies to put in developing world-class audio solutions. And SiriusXM has been doing the same thing, like on Stitcher and Pandora and Simplecast and AdSwizz, and are signing content deals. So we're seeing this consolidation into a few very large companies vying for dominance. iHeart's another one. They've made a number of large purchases, kind of building this full stack. Yeah.
Right. All right. So two other points that are sort of germane to those is new content strategies. You were talking a lot about how interesting short form content might be. I have to agree. I think that we're getting more and more soundbitey kind of approaches to things. Are you seeing any other new forms of content that you're bullish on? And are you shortening your recommendation in terms of branded podcast length?
Well, it's interesting. I wouldn't say we're changing our recommendation, but I think that we have new solutions for the right clients with the right business problem. And I think this idea of a microcast, I'm still really bullish on it, that if there is a content strategy that works for your marketing goal, that could be, you know, a minute type of episode. I think there's a real kind of a multifaceted win for the right brand doing that, that you can have your own feed. You can have, you know, a high volume of episodes that gives people what they want and kind of a snack size, but you could also buy inventory in other podcasts or digital streaming or radio to be able to put that in an ad break and buy reach. And so I think, you know, one of the pieces in podcasting where some advertisers are still measuring reach as a primary goal, that having a content strategy for microcast, you can have the engagement and own a feed, and you can buy the reach that you want through a variety of tools. So
that's interesting.
For the right client, that feels like a really big win-win. I think we will see more of that.
Yep. All right. And I will leave it with one last thing. Any future projections, aside from what we talked about last year going into 2021, breaking news from the mind of Steve Pratt for 2022?
It's so funny. Like, this is the first year where I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit stumped, because, you know, it felt like last year was social audio came out of nowhere with Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces and all the different companies doing social audio. And it had like a really rapid peak and then a really rapid cratering. And then it's kind of come back again. And there's all these companies that are going to be launching it and different versions of it. And it feels to me like it's going to be a thing, but I don't actually know whether it's going to be something that has enough reach to be a meaningful choice for brands to go build communities there.
Right.
There's some risk around doing live content for brands, like and how to differentiate what happens in a live experience to be on brand. It's challenging, but I think there's going to be a lot of experimentation in that space. The other one I'm really excited about is, as we think about all the different technology behind audio, there's a lot of conversation around dynamic ad insertion, you know, to be able to take shows and put markers in the shows and insert ads based, you know, on the demographics and things.
Yep.
There have not been as many experiments with dynamic content insertion. And I think that there's lots of opportunities where you're going to see experimentations with content where people can use the technology that's been designed for targeting ads, but might be able to give you, I don't know, like if I was going to say, like, there's a national news set plus something that is just for your local market that's inserted and it's seamless, or a sports show that's like, here's the big scene, and then boom, here's a chunk with just your local teams inserted in it. It could be something that's a generic evergreen show that has something really topical off the top of it that can be rotated and swapped out based on time of year or markets. Uh-huh. So I think we're kind of at very early stages with how the technology is going to play with different formats.
Brilliant. I think that was a great place to leave it. Looking forward.
Yeah, thanks. You know what? The most fun about this industry is that it hasn't been invented yet. Like building the future right. of an industry and being like able to actually participate in it and try out yeah. new ideas. It's so much fun. I'm having a great time. I love talking about it. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah. And you've been so influential in the building of this space that it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us. This is E.B. Moss for Insider Interviews. Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/MossAppeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.